Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 13th day of December 2017. I'm so delighted to have back as a returning guest my friend, Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City. This is a congregation within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And Pastor Jason Wallace is also host of the Ancient Paths radio show and producer of LDS.video. And we are going to be discussing today two topics on Mormonism. The first we are going to be addressing is Temples Made with Hands, which is also a new video, documentary video that Jason Wallace and Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah have produced. The second hour, we will be addressing the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church, which may be quite astonishing to a lot of you listening. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jason Wallace.
Chris, great to be with you.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, whether you agree with Pastor Wallace or whether you vehemently disagree, maybe you're a Mormon. We would love to hear from you if you are a Mormon, although we would love it even more if you were not a Mormon. We would still love to hear from you if you are a Mormon. We'd also love to hear from folks in the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Got to do a program on that sometime. I believe it's now called the Community of Christ. They've changed their name. The email address to send your questions to is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. Perhaps you are a Mormon and you're asking a question and you don't want to draw attention to your identity. Perhaps you are a Mormon who is starting to question the theology of Mormonism. There may be a host of reasons why you have a personal and private matter that you want to address without revealing your identity, and we will grant your request. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well, first of all, as we always do, Pastor Jason, especially since there are new listeners joining the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience every day, please let our listeners know something about Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah.
Thank you, Chris. We're a small congregation. We started from scratch May will be 20 years ago. And the Lord's blessed. We started from scratch, and we have an established congregation. Lord blessed us with a building. We had a television program for 7.5 years on a local UHF station here. The station was sold a couple of years ago, and so that went away, and we started making our evangelistic videos. We've done dozens of debates over the years. James White used to come to town twice a year, and we started arranging debates for him, and then when they put the word out not to do any more debates with James, I started doing some of the more popular apologists, and we had some others as well. We've done debates with Mormons, Roman Catholics, atheists, and others. On the television program, we had an instructor from the LDS Institute of Religion known, I think, about 14 times over the years. We had former Mormons such as Sandra Tanner, Grant Palmer, and Glenn Wilder, and people like that. We had the president of the Atheist of Utah on, and different ones. So we've tried to be aggressive in our outreach. The Lord's blessed our videos. They're all free at lds.video, www.lds.video. We've just finished our 8th LDS video. We also made one called An Earnest Plea to Gay Christians, which basically tries to respond to that whole movement, which you'll hear later on how that ties in with our ministry here in Utah.
And we addressed that subject before, and you are being somewhat tongue-in-cheek with the title because you do not believe that someone can actually be a genuine Christian and be a homosexual, an active, unrepentant homosexual.
Correct. I mean, that's the end of the video. You can't be both. And, you know, it's completely inconsistent with what we see the apostles saying. And so, you know, we interact with all the various arguments that are floated, and specifically interact with the presentations that Matthew Vines has done, which he's become a pretty popular spokesman for that movement.
And James White, the aforementioned scholar that you had come to the Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah on a number of occasions. We don't want to steer your audience wrong that he's no longer coming, because he is coming, God willing, this February, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. James is, basically, he used to come twice a year for the General Conference and would hand out tracts and witness to people outside of Temple Square. After the 2000 Olympics, it became a circus down there. The street preachers came and started trying to shout him down, because, I mean, they were trying to shout everybody down, and anyone who tried to hold them to a biblical standard, they would mock and ridicule, and it just made it impossible to
just so our listeners know what you're talking about, these are not Mormons. These are self-professed fundamentalists who, most of them, or at least many of them, are not even affiliated with local churches. They are mavericks who have been, in a very mean-spirited, unproductive manner, picketing Mormon events with attitude and a rhetoric bordering on the same lines as the God Hates Fags group, the Westboro Baptist Church. And James White, who was there reasoning with Mormons from the Bible in a loving and compassionate yet firm fashion, was also became a part of their protest because he was not sharing in their vitriol and their venom. And so it became a really difficult situation for Dr. White and the Alpha and Omega Ministries volunteers to continue, because they were being broad brushed with these people behaving in an absurd and anti-productive and unchristian manner.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, the Westboro Baptist people actually did show up as well. They were not, the ones that kept coming were not with them, but they were of the same basic approach. I mean, they were shouting really specific accusations against people they didn't know. There were a couple of girls about 14 years old that were trying to cross the street from Temple Square over to their conference center. And the girls were trying to ignore the guys and sort of giggling at them. And, you know, here's this guy, 50 years old, screaming through a bullhorn, "What's the matter with you? You couple of lesbians or something?"
Wow.
And, you know, one of them would take a Book of Mormon on a string and drag it on the ground and say, "Come on, Mormons, defend your Book of Mormon. Another one would take Mormon sacred garments and wave them over his head, blow his nose on them, throw them on the ground, wave them all around. And, you know, this is while Mormons are lined up to go to their church's general conference. Well, when James opposed them for this kind of, these kinds of tactics, they showed up 6 months later with skinhead wigs, because James, he's got...
Oh, no.
James and I are both Scottish descent. We've got the same hairline, except he shaves his head. And
I think he stopped using a razor to the whole thing, though. He's kind of letting it have like a 5 o'clock shadow on his scalp now.
Okay, well, he was totally shaving it back then, and so they literally showed up with skinhead wigs and a sign that had a quote, which was actually a good quote, from James's book, Letters to a Mormon Elder, and they were screaming at the Mormons, "We're with him! We're with him!" And it was the most surreal thing. I mean, Utah is surreal on a normal day. This was especially surreal.
And when people act like that, when professed Christians act like that, all they do is further convince their enemies or their theological enemies that they were right in their accusations or presumptions against Christianity.
Oh, it's the Mormons ate it up because, I mean, basically they're thinking to themselves, if we're being persecuted like our forefathers, and then, you know, I hate to call them this because I don't want to identify them with people who wouldn't do these kind of things, but they identify themselves as independent fundamental Baptists, and they're not preaching. They're independent fundamental Baptists who actually preach the biblical Jesus and the biblical gospel. These people, they were just making broad accusations against everybody and just ranting. It wasn't preaching at all. You know, they were holding up signs that showed Joseph Smith in hell, and they were mocking it as the LSD church instead of LDS. And, you know, it's just childish. And so when they were getting... obviously, you know, getting some kind of response from the Mormons, they felt justified because, you know, Jesus said, you know, we would be persecuted, and we're being persecuted for telling the truth. And, you know, James rebuked these guys. He asked me to join him. It was a privilege. This is ungodly. And they hardened people against the truth rather than speaking the truth in love.
So, obviously, our intent today, when we are exposing error, we are trying, and I'm not saying that we are infallible in doing this, and I'm sure that I have unconsciously or even purposely, in a sinful way, have gone over the edge into intentional mockery and ad hominem. But that is not our intention today. We are trying to do what any loving Christian should do, is expose deadly and damning error, and I'm talking about spiritually deadly and damning error, because it is not more loving to spare one's feelings and allow someone to continue on the path to hell. I mean, someone's feelings are infinitely less important than their eternal destiny. Am I right?
Oh, most definitely. I tell Mormons they have the wrong God and the wrong gospel, that Joseph Smith is a false prophet who's leading them to outer darkness. You know, I make very clear that it's heaven and hell in the balance. But I try to negotiate the minefield that the church has helped them install to get them to listen to what is being said. Simply screaming insults at people and randomly mentioning Jesus' name is not preaching the gospel. And, you know, I pray that God will convict people. I sometimes feel like my ministry is described in Ezekiel 33, that God has made me a pleasant song to people. They like to hear me, but they don't do what I say. But we've seen a lot of success in terms of getting them to listen and at least recognize that, yes, the Bible presents a different God and a different gospel. Now, the investment that they have in that makes it hard for them to leave. But we see fruit. You know, probably about 40% of our congregation is former Mormon.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense geographically, but I just didn't know that that was the case. That's quite fascinating.
When we did the television program, this fellow that I had on numerous times, he told me that the president of the Salt Lake Temple tried to watch every week. And so, you know, Mormonism, it doesn't take much to shake it to its foundations. And when we just deal with emotions, though, that allows the Mormons to go back to what they're really convinced is their standard of truth, which is their own hearts. You know, the burning in their bosom is the real standard, not the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or anything else. To some great extent, it's their hearts lead them to do what the prophet tells them to do. So he's really the voice of God more than anything.
Well, we have had you on the program a number of times to discuss some of the bedrock heretical teachings of the Latter-day Saints, and also a lot of the things that involved their history and so on. So we can't spend too much time repeating ourselves, and I would like to just direct our listeners not only to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive. If you type in Mormon, you will get a number of past interviews that are there for your listening, not only with Jason Wallace, but with some other former Mormons. I'm sorry, not other former Mormons. Jason Wallace was never a Mormon, but I mean with other apologists critiquing Mormonism. That's the better way of putting it. And some of them happen to be former Mormons. But you could also go to lds.video. And these are really well done, very professional, highly researched and documented documentaries. And I heartily recommend them, especially since my voice is on some of them. But that's not the only reason I am recommending them. There are some things that I've done in my past in regard to voiceover work that I would never brag about to anybody publicly. But one of the reasons I got involved in it is just because of the superb quality of what is being done and knowing of the character and biblically solid theological background of Pastor Wallace. So look up those videos when this show is over and start watching them at lds.video, lds.video. Now, I'm assuming that your latest one, Temples Made with Hands, is part of that umbrella, or part of the videos under that umbrella at lds.video.
Most definitely, and they're all free. Basically, the website is just a link to YouTube videos. So, I mean, they're all, you can find them on YouTube as well. But, yeah, they're all free. We had covered a number of things. We did the first big video, which was an earnest plea to Latter-day Saints. And that it's nearly 2 hours long. It deals about 45 minutes with the historic lies of Mormonism. You know, things that even the most devout Mormons can't really deny, that their church has just lied through its teeth. And we do that to basically break up the ground to try to get them to listen to what the Bible says in terms of three other lies. The lies being that God is an exalted man, which is part of their whole belief system, that Adam sinned that man might be, and that they preach the restored gospel. We try to show them the real God, the real nature of sin, and the real gospel. And that was sort of the big video that we first made. We've made smaller videos with the burning in your bosom from God, the vanishing Lamanites, the burning in your bosom one is meant to challenge from the Bible. And Proverbs says that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We show them the biblical standard of understanding truth, and then we show them other groups that sound very, very much like the Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, making the same identical arguments that the Mormons make. And then we also, you know, show them fundamentalist Mormons. And so then the Vanishing Lamanites is a short video. It basically points out that the Mormon Church used to be very, very clear about who the American Indians were. They said they were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were Israelites that came to America, divided up into a couple of different groups. One group was white and delightsome. The other was cursed with dark skin. The Lamanites killed the Nephites and became the progenitors of the Indians, and they're being gathered back into Israel for the last days, was the whole pitch of the Book of Mormon. We've got Spencer Kimball himself on audio with a picture, of course, saying the Indian is a Lamanite. He is not an Asiatic. And, you know, all these very clear statements that were made until DNA started showing exactly the opposite. And now they've changed the intro to the Book of Mormon to where it used to say that the Indians were the predominant ancestors of the American Indians, or the Lamanites. Now they're saying they were among the ancestors of the American Indians. And they've really toned it down to where no one can find the Lamanites anymore.
Right. If I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there was a documentary, and I'm not sure how old it was. It's probably over a decade, but it might not be. There were Mormons who converted to Christianity when they were scientists who were studying the DNA record, and they realized that the American Indians or Native Americans, the DNA that they possess has nothing to do with the DNA of genuine Hebrews, if you will.
Yeah. We then made a video called The Magical Mormon Scriptures, which shows that their whole view of scriptures just keeps changing. One of their standard works is Doctrine and Covenants. Well, a huge chunk of it was just simply taken out in the 1920s. There have been changes to the Book of Mormon. There have been changes to their revelations over and over and over. Revelations were put forward and then taken back. Sometimes they were put forward and they were expanded. Sometimes they were contracted. It really is a shifting target. And they did the same thing, of course, to the Bible. They added all kinds of additional parts to the Bible. Joseph Smith did his supposedly inspired translation, and we deal with all that. Then we did a couple of videos after Mormonism, atheism, which is where a lot of people end up when they leave Mormonism. And then the other one is after Mormonism, now what? And the three big sections of that are what the lies my church taught me about the Bible, the lies my church taught me about Jesus, and the lies my church taught me about other churches. And we deal with the common things. Mormonism, like Islam and a whole bunch of other things, they tend to think that the best defense is a strong offense. And so rather than actually putting something solid forward, they try to show all the holes in Christianity. Well, we try to do both. We try to basically show the problems of Mormonism, but also how do we know what books are in the Bible? How do we know that the text has been correctly transmitted? How do we know that it can be understood when there's so many different denominations? How do we answer all these various questions? This last video, though, to me, really, I hope gets to the heart of the younger Mormons, because Mormonism has given up to a great extent, it's argumentation that it is objectively true. And so they tend to argue that it is subjectively true. And the temple is the heart of Mormon mysticism. They're convinced they have the temple, temples are biblical, and this is the true restoration of the gospel, that they have temples. And we try to take it apart and show what the biblical temple was about and how every Mormon temple is a monument to its, to the LDS Church's rejection of the biblical gospel.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I'm going to our break right now, our first break, because I don't want to interrupt Pastor Jason mid-sentence. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please always remember to give your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back right after these messages with more of Jason Wallace and Temples Made with Hands.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation, with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number as well, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Try to call between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., where they are most likely going to be manning the phones, if you insist on ordering by phone. And they are offering a store-wide sale, 10% off everything, even 10% off things that are already discounted. If you order $50 or more worth of merchandise, you will get absolutely free the book by Anthony Salvaggio, The Proverbs-Driven Life, not to be confused with Rick Warren's book. I would never promote that book. This is a totally different book by a totally different person with a totally different theological belief. He is a theologically reformed brother in Christ, Anthony Salvaggio, and once again, it is a Proverbs-driven life, retailing for $14. You'll get that absolutely free if you order $50 or more worth of merchandise from cvbbs.com. And once again, their toll-free number is 800-656-0231. We are back now with our guest today, Jason Wallace, pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah, which is a congregation within the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. He is host of the Ancient Paths program. Now, did I make a mistake? Is that a radio or a TV show?
It was a television program for 7.5 years, and then they sold the station. So, but it was television while it was going.
Okay, I apologize for that flub there. And he's also producer of LDS.video, which has a number of different documentaries intended to be a witness for Christianity and the Scriptures to Mormons. We are discussing one of those documentaries today, Temples Made with Hands. In the second hour, God willing, we'll be discussing the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Now, before we go into any audience questions, could you please summarize what the main intent of the documentary Temples Made with Hands is and some of the core things that you have revealed in this documentary?
Sure. There's nothing much in terms of anything that most people who are familiar with Mormonism don't know. I mean, there's a few things that Mormons would be surprised about. Many Mormons are surprised that their first temple didn't have any of the features that you see in current temples.
Even the baptistry with the oxen?
Right. They didn't have a baptismal font. It didn't have a garden room, a ceiling room, a telestial, terrestrial, or celestial room. Because the things that define much of temple work in Mormonism, baptism for the dead, celestial marriage, these kinds of things were not known in the first decade of the Mormon Church. They were never practiced in the Kirtland Temple. So, I mean, that's a bit of a revelation to some I guess to many Mormons. We don't reveal that many secrets as far as, you know, people looking for, you know, some kind of secret ceremonies or anything like that. We try to avoid things that would be considered sacred to the Mormons that they wouldn't listen to. But we mentioned second anointings, which most Mormons don't seem to know what that is. That's when someone is sealed that, except for murder, they cannot lose their position in the LDS Church. They will never. It's basically attesting that they will never fall away. So we sort of dangle that out there because most Mormons don't even know that exists. But what we try to do is compare what the biblical temple does with what the LDS temple does. And we need to be clear, the Mormon meeting houses are not temples. The temples are places that not only can non-Mormons not enter, except before they're dedicated. Sometimes they'll have a tour beforehand, but then they'll go through and they'll take the carpet up afterwards and cleanse the temple, basically, and then they'll dedicate it. And not only can non-Mormons not go in, but most Mormons can't go in either. Only temple-worthy, those who have proven that they're keeping the word of wisdom, that they're tithing, that, you know, they're being faithful Mormons and get a temple recommend from their bishop. Only they can enter, and they do these secret ceremonies. They do baptism for the dead, they do endowments, they do celestial marriage and these kinds of things.
Yes, and there's a lot of connection with the Masonic Lodge and Mormon temples and ritual, correct?
Correct. In the video, we basically try to play off of how central temples are to Mormons' identity of themselves. Mormons really don't know that much about a lot of things in the Bible, but yeah, their temples are central to their life and faith. And so, this is tied into their whole theme, families are forever. It's supposedly through the temple. It's through celestial marriage. It's by being sealed to your parents. It's by being, all these various things are supposed to bring eternal consequences. And so what we do is we kind of segue off of that and the differences between the Kirtland Temple and later temples to go through what does the Bible say about temples. And we go back to the Garden of Eden. We go through Christ's fulfillment of everything that the tabernacle and temple were in type and shadow, and how he brings true reconciliation with God, and point out that the temple made with hands was destroyed in 70 AD. It was taken away from the Jews. And not only is the New Testament clear, but the early church fathers, very, very clear, they're not trying to build any new temples. And, of course, Mormonism says, no, they really wanted temples, but there was a great apostasy, and they gave up on it. The reality is that no one was building temples to speak of other than other groups. That's another story that sort of predate Mormonism that Joseph's father was involved in, possibly. The New Israelites were building temples. But we know that at least a dozen years before the publication of the Book of Mormon, both Joseph's father and brother were involved in the Freemasons, and they built temples. And it's from Freemasonry that they get not only temples made with hands, but they get the aprons, they get the raising of the hand at the square, they get the symbolic cutting of the throat, though that's been taken out of the Mormon temple ritual since 1990. So yeah, it's very much based in Freemasonry. Joseph Smith claimed he was not only restoring the true primitive Christianity, but the true primitive Freemasonry as well. And many of his early followers came out of Freemasonry.
And why is this so disturbing to you? There are even Christians, for instance, and there have been Christians for centuries even going back to some of our founding fathers, like George Washington, who professed to be a Christian and so on, who were members of the Mason Lodge or the Freemasonry Lodge. Tell us about why this would be alarming in any way.
Well, I mean, Freemasonry is basically a counterfeit to the church. There's a wonderful paper that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church wrote, I think it was back in the 50s or 40s, called Christ or the Lodge. Freemasonry presents itself, like Mormonism, as wholesome and believing in God and all like this, but like Mormonism, when you start getting past the veneer, you find out it's really occultic. It's not biblical Christianity by any stretch. It's a fraternity without a Christian creed, and it's basically a substitute for the church to a great extent. Freemasonry became really popular through the Enlightenment and people seeking some kind of fraternity apart from the church. But in 1826, Captain William Morgan was kidnapped by Freemasons because he had written a book revealing their secrets, and then he turned up dead. This started a wave of anti-Masonic activity in the United States that helped usher in some of the things that we see in Mormonism. Joseph Smith actually ends up married to his widow as one of his plural wives. Many of the lodges shut down, and into that vacuum steps Smith saying, yes, Freemasonry has become perverted, but we're offering the true Freemasonry. But, basically it's Freemasonry at its best offers a god who is a deistic god. He's pretty much whatever you want him to be. At its worst, if you read some of the writings of some of their leaders, it ends up going off into some badly occult directions.
And by the way, I want to let our listeners know that I had done some interviews in the past with my friend John Otis, who wrote a book called Freemasonry, a Dangerous Cult. And you could look that up in Amazon, and I might be able to find before the end of the program another URL that you could order that book from. It's the largest, at least when it was written and published, it was the largest, most exhaustive treatment of Freemasonry coming from a Christian perspective, a point of criticism, coming from a point of criticism from a Christian, an evangelical Christian. And John was actually a part many years ago of a PCA board that was developed to vote on whether or not PCA members could be also simultaneously members of the Masons. And John developed his vast files of research because of being charged with that duty, being a board member at the time. And that's how he came to be such a thoroughly knowledgeable expert on the Masons. In fact, after a listener of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program in Dublin, Ireland, heard my interview with him, he had John, he contacted John and had John, invited John to debate a high-level Mason in London, England. And the high-level Mason was also a Swedenborgianist. And it was quite an interesting debate, and you can see that on YouTube. I'm assuming it's still there. John Otis debate on Freemasonry, and you'll find it. But I digress. I'm sorry about that. A lot of the Mormon rite and ritual is very eerie when it comes to connections with things that seem very superstitious and even occultic. Am I going too far in that?
No, not at all. Basically, the Mormon temples are centered around this idea that there are three levels of heaven, and that you can reach the highest level through participating in the right ceremonies. And so what you do, you go through and you learn secret handshakes through the veil, and they act out things like, they used to act out, they cut this part, but they still have Satan being portrayed in the temple, and the green apron is supposed to be, or his apron is supposed to represent his priesthood and authority. And they have their own green apron there in the temple. And it's like Freemasonry. They have their aprons, they learn their secret handshakes through the veil, and it's a Gnosticism that by learning the right ceremonies, you can move up the ladder. But instead of moving up the ladder to higher levels of the craft, you move up higher levels into heaven. And by doing the right things and doing what the church tells you, supposedly you can become a god yourself, like Elohim supposedly did before us. He's supposedly an exalted man as well. There's many gods, many different worlds. We'll end up with our own spirit wives populating our own planets someday if we follow their plan of salvation. But they used to copy the Masonic oath that if you revealed the secrets, you took your thumb, held your hand out with your thumb, you would go across your throat and say, "May my throat be cut, may my heart and bowels be cut out," or something along those lines. When Mitt Romney was candidate for president, there was a lot of media coverage of Mormon holy underwear, as a lot of people called it. But on the left breast of that is sewn in a compass, and on the right breast a square. So it's the compass and square, and you see the Freemasonic symbols all over their temples. You know, the all-seeing eye, the beehive, the special handshakes, the sun, the moon, stars, compass and square, of course, and you know, these other kinds of things. And then, of course, inside you have the aprons. And one of the things we point out in the video is God stripped Adam and Eve of their apron of fig leaves and covered them in the skins of dead animals, the shedding of blood. God rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom to demonstrate the end of that temple made with hands. The Freemasonry, or the Freemasons and then the Mormons, brought back the temple made with hands. They brought back the veil and they brought back the apron.
Wow. Now, the thing that is puzzling to me is that you will have Mormon marriages sealed in the temple, and they are supposedly connected with eternal significance, and then you still have Mormons getting divorced and remarried and so on. What's going on there?
Yeah, there's the facade and there's the reality. I think we have the lowest age of marriage or close to it in the country, typically, as far as you know, the median age of people's first marriage. A lot of folks get married right out of high school. We have a lot of divorces here, and that creates issues. And you can end up getting a temple divorce. Of course, then you end up with problems like Marie Osmond. She marries a guy young. She gets married in the temple, sealed to him for eternity. Then divorces him, marries another guy, and then ends up going back to her first husband and after that. And so, yeah, it creates some confusion here.
Now, of course, there are multitudes of evangelical Christians, born-again believers, who have been divorced. So we're not, like, mocking Marie Osmond about anything. It just has to do with an inconsistency with Mormon dogma. I mean, things that are not things that are supposed to be changeable. Am I right on that?
Right. I mean, because the temple marriages are not just till death do you part. The temple marriages are supposed to be for time and eternity. And it's by being married in the temple that the man can qualify to become a god, and then he can call his wife from the grave, and they're given new names by which to call one another. From what I understand, there's an awful lot of Sarahs out there.
That's because that was one of Joseph Smith's wives, correct?
Yeah, the temple names do tend to correspond with Joseph Smith's wives. But at any rate, these are weddings not just for time, but for all eternity. And they're claiming that they have the authority to do that. And then they end up breaking that, and then you end up marrying that same person again. And it's like, so do you marry him for eternity again? I don't know that she got a temple divorce or not, but I mean, I'm not picking on her for that. It's just they hold themselves up that families are forever, and we're the only, you know, we're not only are we the way that you can get to God, but we're the only way that you can reach the highest level of heaven by our temples and by our ceremonies. And their consistency is falling apart in a lot of ways.
Well, we're going to our midway break. This is a longer break than normal. When we return, I'm going to have you summarize the whole topic of temples made with hands, and then we're going to move on to our second subject, which is the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church. If anybody would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if you're asking about a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back with Pastor Jason Wallace and more of our discussion on Mormonism.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man, or of God, nor am I trying to please man. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in Culinary Arts and Applied Science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, support our advertisers like Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. please help them dig their way out of a sales slump, a very serious sales slump they've experienced. They are slowly rising out of it, but not to a comfortable point. And please, whenever you order from solid-ground-books.com, make sure you mention to them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please consider doing all of your holiday shopping, or at least a great portion of it, from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And you can also order Solid Ground Christian Books titles from cvbbs.com, who you heard advertised just moments ago. CVBBS.com is a book distributor. They are not a publisher, and Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher. So you can order titles published by Solid Ground Christian Books from CVBBS.com, and you could kill two birds with one stone and make two of our advertisers happy. So why not go to Solid Ground Christian Books website, solid-ground-books.com, make a list of all the books that you want to order, and then go to CVBBS.com and order them. And just to let you know that, to repeat what we said earlier, CVBBS.com is having a sale, a store-wide sale, 10% off everything that they carry. And if you order $50 or more worth of merchandise, you get absolutely free of charge the book by Anthony Salvaggio, The Proverbs-Driven Life. That's a $14 value. You'll get that absolutely free of charge. You can either go to CVBBS.com or you can call them at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And don't forget to look for titles especially published by Solid Ground Christian Books. Solid Ground Christian Books. And we are going to return to our discussion momentarily with Jason Wallace, pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation, also known as the OPC. He is also former host of the Ancient Paths television show and producer of LDS.video. We were discussing during our first hour temples made with hands. We are going to wrap that up in a moment and move on to our second subject, the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we have a number of you already waiting to have your questions asked and answered by Jason Wallace. So be patient, and we'll be with you as soon as we can. I just have to make one, or should I say a couple more announcements. The G3 Conference, which stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory, is returning to Atlanta, Georgia, this January 17th through the 20th. They are going to hold this conference once again for the second time at the Georgia International Convention Center, quite an enormous facility, and I am going to be there, God willing, for the second time to man an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, and I hope many of you greet me there when you attend this conference. Please, I'm begging you to please, if it is all possible, please attend this conference. The G3 conference this January will be on Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. The 17th begins during the daytime with an exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the conference. And then we transition into the English language on the evening of January 17th when Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries debates a Muslim. And then on the 18th, the English version of the conference actually begins on the theme, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. And the speakers include Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, yeah, I was right, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Bethenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, Martha Peace, Justin Peters, and Stephen Nichols has just recently been added. He is the president of Reformation Bible College, a college started by Ligonier Ministries, the teaching ministry of Dr. R.C. Sproul. If you would like to register for this conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and please tell them that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Tell that to all of our advertisers if you contact them or patronize them, because it doesn't do much good for us
if you contact them or make use of their services or attend their events, if you're not mentioning us, it does wonders for them. Doesn't do much good for us if you're not mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please, if you love this program and you don't want us to go away, we are truly on the precipice of disappearing from the airwaves. We are going through a really difficult time financially. And as I have been begging you for several months now, after years of silence, finally caving in to the constant urging of my advertisers to make public appeals for donations, my advertisers who have spent many hard-earned dollars to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air want you to join in on helping this program to remain in existence. So please, if you love the program, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and then you'll see an address, a mailing address. You can mail a check for any amount made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio or Cruciform Media, which is the name of my advertising agency. Either one will work, but Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is just a lot easier to remember. And please never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member. And you must be a member of a local Bible-believing church or prayerfully seeking one out if you are to be living in obedience to God in that regard. But please never siphon money away from them and never take food off of your family's dinner table, because those are two things that are commands of Scripture, providing for your home and family and your church. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability financially to obey those two commands, please consider sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you don't want it to disappear, if you do want it to remain on the air. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support. You'll have all the details you need to mail a check of any amount. Please mail as many checks as you can. Some of you have already become monthly or bi-monthly or tri-monthly donors, and my heart leaps with joy. I am so humbled and honored that so many of you think this program is worthy of spending your hard-earned money to help it remain on the air. I am totally blown away by that, and I thank God for you more than you will ever know. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and whatever it is you're advertising, whether it's your church, parachurch, business, professional practice, special event, as long as it's compatible with the theology expressed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we would love to launch an ad campaign with you. It doesn't have to be identical. You don't have to have identical beliefs to me, but you cannot have beliefs that militate against mine, especially when it comes to what you're advertising. So thank you very much for your time and allowing me to rattle my tin cup because of the urgent situation and desperate situation that we find ourselves here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Now we are back to our discussion with Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church and producer of LDS.video. We are wrapping up our discussion right now on temples made with hands, and then we're going to move on to the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church. If you could summarize those things you most want our listeners to know about temples made with hands, Pastor Jason.
Sure. Essentially, the tabernacle and temple in the Bible pointed forward to Christ. It is in him that we find all the types and shadows fulfilled. The point is that he is the end of the Christian faith, to know him, to be known by him. In Mormonism, Jesus is not our God and our Creator. He is our elder spirit brother, and he has made it possible for us to save ourselves, essentially. It's by the grace of God, after all we can do. Through our obedience, through our temple rituals, we can exalt ourselves. And so Jesus becomes a means to an end. We are the end. The Westminster Shorter Catechism first question is, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In Mormonism, if they were bold enough to answer that question, it would be God's chief end is to glorify man. And so the difference between the God of the Bible and us is absolute. It is qualitative. He is ungenerated. He is infinite, eternal, omnipotent. The difference between Elohim in Mormonism and the Mormon in their thinking is that we all started out as eternal intelligences, and through obedience to law, he was able to prove his worthiness to become a god, and we can do the very same thing. And so, Mormonism is all about exalting self. The biblical gospel is about exalting Christ. And they think they have much higher views of heaven because of all their temple ceremonies and everything else. The reality is their God is pitifully small. Their God is a Superman. He is mightier than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, but he is just an exalted man.
I'm sorry, couldn't help but laugh at that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's Thor. It's Superman. It's a big Superman, but in the first video we point out, when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, he said, "The heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I've built." And depending on the Mormon audience I'm speaking with, I mean, I'll try to rattle people's cages a little bit, but I try to speak respectfully. But I'll tell them, your gods could be stacked up like cordwood in Solomon's temple. Because they're just exalted men. But the heavens of heavens can't contain the God who created them.
Okay, well, before I go into the new topic on the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church, I have a listener from Copenhagen, Denmark, and I could be wrong, but I think that we either ran out of time during one of your previous interviews and could not take this brother's question. So I'm going to ask it now, but even if we already asked it on the air, I just don't remember. It's a good question that would apply very much to any discussion on the Latter-day Saints, so I'm going to reread the question anyway from Armin in Copenhagen, Denmark. He asks you, how do you utilize apologetics when evangelizing Mormons? And then he has a follow-up question, but I'll start with that one.
They're intimately connected because Mormons have been inoculated against the Bible and against the biblical gospel. The vast majority of Mormons think that the evangelical faith is you walk an aisle, you pray a prayer, and then you live like a pagan. And, of course, the irony is that is Gnosticism, but so is Mormonism. And Mormonism is, instead of learning, you know, the magic phrase, Jesus died for me, without any change of heart, without any new birth, without the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Mormonism's going through a temple and learning secret handshakes and learning secret passwords. So Mormons have been both inoculated against the gospel, and they have been taught a vocabulary that redefines every term you use. So most evangelicals, when they try to share the gospel with Mormons, they come away frustrated or thinking there's not really that big a difference. Because Mormons will say, oh, yeah, we're sinners. Oh, yeah, we believe that we're saved by grace through faith. You know, they'll go through these things, and sometimes you can get them to even sound even more biblical. Because over the last generation, Mormonism has really downplayed defining itself. The old standard Mormon doctrine by Bruce R. McConkie, one of their apostles, has been allowed to go out of print because they don't want to define themselves much of it on anything. So in order to deal with Mormons, you have to learn their jargon. You have to learn what they mean by things and how their whole system works, that when they're talking about God, they're not talking about the God of the Bible, even though they say they are. They're talking about an exalted man who was the spirit son of another god who, during his mortal probation, obeyed the law and, you know, gets resurrected. According to Brigham Young, of course, he comes back as Adam, and that's one of our videos is dealing with, Brigham Young felt that you had this perpetual exaltation and falling of gods. And that's a whole other rabbit trail. But the reason, one of the big reasons we've made these videos is there's a huge hurdle for non-Mormons to try to communicate the gospel with Mormons. You have to learn the language and everything else. By making these videos, what you can do is simply say, I saw this video, An Earnest Plea to Latter-day Saints. I would love to hear your feedback. And most Mormons, of course, will then try to spin it, well, that's anti-Mormon propaganda, they're Mormon bashers. But, you should really hear it from our missionaries, and let us present what we really believe. And if you don't fall for that and say, no, I'd really like to hear your feedback on this, because it makes some very specific claims, and it says that if anyone could show any significant errors of fact, that they will publicly apologize to the Mormon Church and pull it from the Internet. So please, just watch it. Tell me what you think. And if you're persistent in that and nice, most Mormons will watch it. And you can watch it with them. And you can, and it puts it in language that the Mormons can understand, but also that the non-Mormon can understand.
And you actually reminded me of some of the things you were saying. A friend of mine, Deborah Antignano, who's a former Jehovah's Witness, born-again believer in Christ, and someone who is gifted with a truly breathtaking gift of singing, and she sings professionally. She sings in churches and for special Christian events. But she was in a dialogue on the Internet with Glenn Beck, and she showed me a screenshot of her dialogue with him. And he was getting angry about his Christianity being questioned, since he's a Mormon. And he basically, in anger, said, I'm going to say this one last time, okay? I don't know the tone of his voice, but even to say that is pretty remarkable, why you would be saying that you only wanted to say it one last time. He said that he believes that we are sinners, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he rose from the dead, and without him, we would not have salvation, or something to that effect. And so, see there, I'm a Christian. Now, they very often have the same vocabulary, but a different dictionary, don't they?
Oh, most definitely. And, by that standard, the Judaizers were Christians.
Right.
By that, and God says, no, it's another gospel entirely. The Apostle Paul says, let them be anathema. By that standard, the Docetists, who said that Jesus did not come in the flesh, are Christians too, and yet God, through the Apostle John, says that they're not Christians, they're Antichrist. And, it's not a matter of being able to check all the right boxes on a theological exam. The question is, have our hearts been changed? Have our eyes been opened? Have we been given ears to hear? Do we have the Holy Spirit testifying by and with the Scriptures in our hearts to who the real Jesus is? And true believers can be confused about a lot of things, but when the apostolic witness is abundantly clear and it's rejected, then it's clear that the Judaizers and the Docetists, they were no Christians at all, and neither are Mormons. Because, I ask Mormons, would you consider me a Mormon if I said that I believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and he was born in Vermont, he was raised in New York, he married Emma Hale, and I go down the list. But then I tell you that the Joseph Smith that I believe is a prophet is a black man living today in Kearns, Utah. All of a sudden, despite all the similarities, we're not talking about the same God, same Joseph Smith anymore. Similarly, we're not talking the same God anymore. The God of Mormonism is one among many gods. He hasn't always been God. He didn't make everything. He's not that holy. The fall of Adam is considered a good thing. It was a fall upward. It was, according to Bruce McConkie, one of the greatest blessings ever given to man. And, the deeper you go past the initial rhetoric, the more down the rabbit hole you go. It's a different God, a different gospel. And you know, the difference is not a razor's edge. The difference is a chasm.
Mm-hmm. And let's have an abbreviated response to this, since we really do want to go on to the homosexual issue with Mormonism. Armin from Copenhagen, Denmark, also says, I would assume that sometimes there needs to be some groundwork before proclaiming the gospel, since Mormons have a different view of God, sin, hell, heaven, grace, etc., which is something that you were just talking about. So I'm assuming he's correct that it would be wise, not necessary, but wise to have some homework about what Mormons believe before you get into a dialogue with them.
Most definitely. And I think you also need to understand the culture. If you start talking justification, sanctification, the vicarious atonement, things like this with Mormons, their eyes will typically glaze over. They're like, oh yeah, we believe in the atonement, you know, or something like that. But the Mormons have been conditioned not to think about these things, but to emote over them. So the best approach I know is to give them the stories of Scripture. They're a narrative-based culture. You have stories from the Book of Mormon. You have stories of the pioneers. You have stories of the missionaries. There's very much story, story, story oriented. So give them the stories of the Bible. I've lost count of how many times I've gone through and shown Mormons God drowning the whole world in Noah's flood, except for those on the ark. God, when Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offer strange worship, the fire of the Lord goes out and turns them into the incense. And I take them through these judgments that show that God is far holier and sin is far worse than they ever imagined. And I've had numerous Mormons point at the Bible and say, that's not my God. And I say, that's your problem, because that's the only real one.
Huh. Well, thank you, Armin, in Copenhagen, Denmark. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keep spreading the word about the program in Scandinavia and beyond. Well, before I go into some of our audience questions on the homosexual issue, please start with a summary of why you wanted to discuss this issue today. It may be alarming to a lot of people that this is even an issue amongst those that have been considered to be the most conservative religious people in America, and here we have an issue of homosexuality infiltrating even the official Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So if you could tell us something about this.
Sure. Ever since Gordon B. Hinckley became prophet, and even before, but especially with his becoming prophet, there's been a move away from the Mormonism of Bruce R. McConkie and the old hardline Mormonism. In much the same way, there's been a move away from hardline much of anything in religion in this country. Mormons used to say, we're not Christians, we're Mormons. But they've been taught now to say, of course we're Christians. Why would you say we're not Christians? We're Christians too. And part of that is a strategy to blunt the criticism. Part of it is the reality that Mormons have essentially tried to avoid criticism by taking any kind of stand that could be criticized. They've been very socially conservative up until fairly recently. They were the candidacy of Mitt Romney was a huge thing, and also before that they supported Proposition 8 in California. And they were instrumental in having Proposition 8 that defined marriage as between one man and one woman passed on the state level in California. Well, the blowback from that, I think, shocked them. You had thousands of people marching in the streets in Salt Lake. And so the leadership backpedaled a lot. They gave a lot of money to the Utah Pride Center. They started promoting local ordinances that prohibited discrimination against homosexuals in terms of employment and housing, first at a local level and then ultimately at the state level. And it wasn't just that they were not opposing it, they were driving it. Now, simultaneously, many people are leaving Mormonism for atheism or pantheism, or, you know, basically it's make up your own religion. You just replace Monson as the prophet. But in leaving Mormonism, many people react against the strict ethics against sexual immorality and drinking and things like that. We have a cheese company here in Utah that they became very popular by putting a coating of tea and coffee on their cheeses. Yeah, this is the ex-Mormon's way to shake their fist at Mormonism.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't make this stuff up, but anyway, Salt Lake City is the home of the University of Utah, and it's less Mormon than a lot of other places, but it also has a lot of Mormons that they go through. They're not openly rebellious, but they're getting swept on. They really don't believe much anymore. They haven't left the church, but they don't really believe it anymore. And so the mayor of Salt Lake City, they voted down an Al Gore-style Democrat in favor of a Bernie Sanders-style Democrat who is an open lesbian. And this didn't come out after the election. This was a resume enhancement. I mean, it was a two-way race, and she won easily. And she has flown the rainbow flag from City Hall. She's put it on the stickers for the police department. A police officer who asked to be reassigned so that he would not have to help lead the gay pride parade through the middle of Salt Lake was terminated. And the Mormon church is scared because the anti-Mormon stuff is using homosexuality as its club to beat them over the head with. And so they've tried to make peace by promoting, you know, and, I mean, openly supporting, having a press conference and saying, we are wholeheartedly in support of, you know, these new laws prohibiting any discrimination. Well, it was those kind of laws that ended up being used against churches in San Francisco years ago that ultimately helped lead to the firebombing of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church there. There are protections against churches here, but not against individuals, or not for individuals.
By the way, you might find this interesting, but my landlord here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, was a pastor there at the first OPC of San Francisco before Chuck McElhaney was there.
Oh, wow. Tell him I said hi.
Oh, well. Al Stever.
I've heard the name, but, the new sexual ethic is basically hitting Mormonism at the same time that they've tried to back away from anything offensive to everybody, or to anybody, rather. And so you've got guys like Dan Reynolds, who's the front man for the music group Imagine Dragons. He's a returned Mormon missionary, and he's very, very embarrassed that he used to go out as a missionary and tell people that homosexual behavior was sinful.
In fact, can you pick up right where you left off there with Imagine Dragons?
Yeah.
Because we have to go to our final break right now.
No problem.
It's going to be a briefer one than the previous one. So don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Jason Wallace and more of the homosexual the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion now with Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, on the homosexual seduction of the Mormon Church. If you'd like to join us quickly with a question before we run out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Right before the break, Pastor Jason, you were talking about Imagine Dragons and somebody who returned as a missionary, repentant of being so harsh against the sin of homosexuality.
Yeah, Dan Reynolds is the front man for the pop group Imagine Dragons. It's one of the top groups going these days.
A Mormon group? I've never heard of them.
Yeah, you've probably heard their music on commercials and things like this. Believer, things like this are pretty popular. But Dan Reynolds was a BYU student, and he's a returned missionary. The original band members all met down in Provo at BYU. Well, he's basically typical of a lot of younger Mormons that he sort of loves Mormonism, or at least he says he does, loves Mormonism. It's good for families, it's things like this, but he's opposed to their views on sexuality. And so he sponsored a concert down in Orem, Utah, which is right next to Provo, at Utah Valley University, called the Love Loud Concert, that was essentially celebrating homosexual youth. And the Mormon Church seems to have been torn about what to do. They've been torn on a lot of other things, but they end up basically saying, we think this is a good event or something like that, but without endorsing it, but kind of endorsing it. And this is the line that the leadership seems to be following. They seem to have lost any confidence in any kind of hard stand on much of anything. And so the Boy Scouts before that was a great example. Roughly 20% of all the Boy Scouts, and I think it was 30-plus percent of all the Boy Scout troops, 20% are LDS, about 30% of the troops are sponsored by LDS churches, many of them small ones, in rural towns here in Utah and things like that. But they were a huge part of the Boy Scouts. They didn't, after Proposition 8 and the blowback on that, they didn't oppose what happened with the Boy Scouts. Then I think they probably could have vetoed it, or at least clearly broken from the Boy Scouts when they decided to start allowing homosexual scout leaders. But they didn't. They talked about, we're going to reevaluate what we're doing. Well, that went on for a few years. And then earlier this year, they announced that they're splitting with the Boy Scouts in terms of their older boys. And, of course, now the Boy Scouts say they're letting in girls and things like this. And there's a question, are they going to stay with the Boy Scouts for the younger groups as well? But, yeah, I mean, LDS make up around 20% of all the Boy Scouts. And the leadership, they don't want to offend people. And so they'll do something over here to try to appease this group, then they'll do something over here to try to appease the other group. And it's interesting to see what's happening. I've watched formerly True Blue Mormons who, you know, would say, we are the one true and living church on the face of the earth, now say, you know, it's not about being right or wrong, it's all about love. And so it's very postmodern, very, very emotive, very much what you see in a lot of other groups out there.
Okay, we have some questions, excellent questions from a listener, who actually is someone who has been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He's a former Mormon who was converted to biblical Christianity by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. His name is Steve Cooley. He's an associate pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. And for those of you who are interested, the website of that church is bbcchurch.org, bbcchurch.org. But the first question that Steve has is the Mormon Church's evolution on homosexuality, of course we might consider it a de-evolution, a preview of what we will see in the open but cautious evangelical church? In other words, if the canon of Scripture is still open, can we expect to see professing Christians embracing the sin of homosexuality like Mormons have? Very interesting question. Obviously, some of that would require that you're a prophet, but what are your comments on that?
Well, I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I can make an educated guess, I think. What I'm seeing is that Mormonism, broad evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, across the board, people are surrendering to this juggernaut that's coming at them. The evangelical churches, some of them have openly embraced homosexuality, some like Andy Stanley, basically allow practicing homosexuals not only in membership but leadership, but then they sort of dance around the issue. But they talk about how they're going to... you know, we're not going to get into these political things. We're just going to preach Jesus. And sometimes they'll talk a little more pastorally sounding, saying, you know, well, we don't want to deal with those things up front. We just want to preach Jesus and get people in. Well, the Jesus of the Bible makes clear that God defines marriage. And he makes clear that porneia is still sinful. We deal with all this in an earnest plea to gay Christians. This idea that just because something's in Leviticus means it's gone away, not when you look at it in context. When you look at it in context, you find out that these sexual sins were given as the basis for God destroying the Gentile Canaanites. And Israel's told, if you do them, you'll be destroyed. And we see them repeated in the New Testament. We see the you know, Matthew Vines will talk about how we're no longer under the law. You know, the Jerusalem Council made that clear. Well, Jerusalem Council said that we're still supposed to keep ourselves from porneia, from sexual immorality. And when churches, I mean, we're seeing it right now with unpopularity. I mean, I'm demonized as hateful and mean. I'm a Pharisee. I debated the pastor of First Baptist Salt Lake a little over a year ago on this subject. And he wasn't sure anybody else was going to hell, but he sure seemed to be sure that I was going to hell. Because I'm the epitome of evil because I say that sodomy is wrong. And, you know, I make clear there's a whole lot of other ways of rebelling against God, but this is definitely one of them. And so we're seeing people cave already. When you see people in danger of losing their tax-exempt status, in danger of being locked up for hate speech, I think that other than a few Reformed Baptists, some Orthodox Presbyterians, and maybe a few Southern Baptists and some others out there, there's not exactly going to be a lot of people standing up against this, except for the grace of God. Personally, I hope it's going to be the means that God uses to humble us and refine us and ultimately send revival. But, yeah, the Mormons are caving, and so is everybody else, because everybody wants to be popular.
We have another question from former Mormon Steve Cooley, and he says, has the LDS leadership given any indication that homosexual marriage is soon to be accepted by the church, the marriage aspect?
That's the one area that they seem to be less flexible at the moment. Of course, that changes every day. As far as their treatment, they used to be very clear. You know, they were socially conservative, and so they still stood against homosexuality, using much of the old language. That's changed. Now they've got a gay page on the LDS site, and they are trying to figure out where they're going. They offended a lot of people when they made up some internal rules about how to deal with children living in a homosexual home and things like this. And this led to a lot of people leaving the Mormon Church. So they're trying to just avoid publicity at this time. I don't see them doing gay marriage anytime soon for a number of reasons. But the Mormon Church, they also, you know, they gave up polygamy under the threat of losing their property. They gave up blocking blacks from being in the priesthood. They've given up a whole host of things. And so I don't see them having a lot of firm commitments if things get hard on them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with our next president. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with our Supreme Court on the current decision. I mean, they already invented a constitutional right to homosexual marriage. It seems fairly clear that at least four of the nine justices think that homosexuality is more important than religious freedom. So we're going to see what happens.
And Steve Cooley also asks, why does it seem that an increasing number of Mormons are Democrats? Is this just my imagination?
No, not at all. Besides having a lesbian mayor of Salt Lake City, who's obviously, you know, big surprise, she's a Democrat, the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate, who got nearly 40% of the vote in Utah, which included an awful lot of Mormons, was Misty Snow, who is a transgender grocery bagger at a local grocery store. His one thing that made him qualified for office, apparently, was he is transvestite, and got nearly 40% of the vote for the state Senate, the United States Senate.
Wow, that is pretty remarkable. This seems to be going back to what we were talking about before, about people being more concerned with the feelings of others than their eternal, never-dying souls. And, of course, even if Mormons were to maintain a biblical ethic on sexual relations and, you know, a marriage between man and woman, monogamy for life, etc., they would still be, unfortunately and tragically, going to hell if they don't repent of their false religion. But it is interesting to see that even they would be falling into this concept of it's more important to avoid risking hurting someone's feelings than to teach truths that your religion has taught for well over a century in the case of Mormonism.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, to a great extent, Mormon apologetics, like a lot of other apologetics out there, has been to focus on what's wrong in biblical Christianity. You know, let's kick up as much dust as we can, create as much doubt, and then we're going to come riding in and present the certainty. For most Mormons, when they basically come to the conclusion that the Mormon Church is no longer objectively true, then they conclude that nothing is objectively true. Even though they recognize that the LDS Church has been lying to them, they still carry many of those lies with them, assuming, well, if Mormonism isn't true, there is no true church left. And Mormonism says it's the one true church upon the face of the earth. And so, you know, this is one of the reasons we made the After Mormonism Now What? Because, and then also the Mormon After Mormonism Atheism thing, because they've had to have this convoluted idea in the first place of how do you defend Mormonism as true. And then if somebody leaves Catholicism or a Protestant church, typically they have some kind of structure of authority that they can fall back on, that they still have some sense of reality. In Mormonism, especially here in the Intermountain West, you leave Mormonism, you have nothing left. I mean, the Mormon church was everything to you. Your schooling, your community, everything was connected with that. And so there's this temptation to just rebel against everything.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. We look forward to you not only sending in more questions in the future, but we look forward to you returning as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I hope that you and Pastor Jason Wallace develop a friendship as a result of this program. I think it would be a very valuable friendship. Who knows what fruit it may bear. We have a listener, Christian, in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christian says, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but something about the Mormon Church caving in to liberalism and homosexuality makes me happy. And the reason I say that is for the same reason I am delighted with the current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church making all kinds of bizarre and heretical statements. The reason why I'm saying this is that those that are hardcore believers in those religions may be, by the grace of God, awakened to the fact that their religions are false, and they may be more likely to come to a saving faith of Christ, God willing. And what I actually share that feeling, reaction, to a degree. I'm not like jumping for joy about anybody condoning a damnable behavior, but at the same time, I think the listener makes a point. What do you think about that, Jason?
I think it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, yes, it's really, really hard to argue that Pope Francis is presenting the unanimous consent of the fathers. I mean, it's really hard
with
magisterial authority to contradict canon law that he's infallible. And so was the canon law before, when they're clearly contradicting. So on the one hand, yes, a lot of things are collapsing around us, and it does give us opportunity. And in the Lord's providence, I take this all as good. On the other hand, former Mormons are some of the hardest people for me to deal with, because they've been burned and they've been taught a steady diet of objections to Christianity. And you answer one, they've got 20 more. You answer those 20, they got 200 more. And it's just, and they, there is such a resistance to wanting to hear any claims from anybody that it's a real challenge. Now, God can break through that, and we've got members who've been through that. But it's, personally, just my temperament, my gifts, I find it easier to deal with true blue Mormons who are still trying to make it all make sense. The former Mormons, I've somewhat said tongue-in-cheek and only half-joking, if I end up dead, it's probably not a Mormon, but a former Mormon that did it. Mormons will come up to me in restaurants, even, you know, we've been off the air for over 2 years. Mormons will come up, you're that guy. You know, they can never remember my name, but or hardly ever remember my name, but they'll say, you know, I love your show. I'm a faithful Mormon, but I love your show. And I'm like, you understand that I was trying to tell you that Joseph Smith is leading you out to outer darkness and that you have the wrong God and the wrong gospel. Yeah, yeah, we know we have our differences, but we like your spirit. Ex-Mormons, I wouldn't cross the street in front of them for fear they might hit the gas instead of the brake on some of them.
That's ironic, because you might instinctively come to the opposite conclusion, because you are disproving the teachings of a religion that they have already renounced. So it is kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're typically very hostile to all religion. I mean, there are exceptions. I mean, and these are the exceptions. Most former Mormons are not that hostile. I don't mean to present that. But it's, to me, it's funny that the most hostile people I've met, and I've met some hardcore LDS, I've gotten hate mail, but I've gotten far more hate mail and threatening stuff from ex-Mormons than I have from active Mormons.
And I would like you to now summarize in about 2 minutes what you most want to be etched into the hearts and minds of our listeners today, especially Mormon listeners, before we run out of time.
Basically, we've created these videos so that you don't have to spend 20 years learning Mormonism, so that you can feel comfortable talking with someone. Watch the videos. We have a 2-hour one, we have a 10-minute one, we've got a number of ones in between. The one that's nearly 2 hours, it goes through the gospel very clearly, very, very thoroughly. But even the little ones can raise questions. We made them so you can watch them and ask a Mormon, watch it with me. Or just, here's the address. Watch these videos. Tell me what you think. And if you have questions, you don't have to have all the answers. If they raise a question on something, write us, call us. We'll be happy to help you. But Mormons very seldom hear the gospel, and yet there are numerous former Mormons who heard the gospel. Some on their missions. We hand our cards out to Mormon missionaries all the time. They hear the gospel on their missions. They end up coming to faith. How else are they going to hear it? They're not going to hear it in most places, and most people don't want to talk to the Mormons. And if they do want to talk to them, they want to try to woo them and emote, you know, they want to out-emote the Mormons, but they don't want to really talk about what the Bible says and who the Jesus of Scripture is. And so I encourage you to watch the videos, www.lds.video. If you have questions, call us, write us. We'll be happy to try to help you. But we have the truth, and no one who has the truth should have anything to fear.
Amen. And people might be puzzled by that new kind of URL. It's not .org, .com, .net. It's .video. LDS.video. Correct?
Correct.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you just type in LDS video, it'll take you to the LDS Church's website. If you type in LDS.video, it'll take you to our site.
Okay, yeah, big distinction. And, of course, the Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah website is gospelutah.org, gospelutah.org. I want to let our listeners know that I have an interview scheduled for January 11th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, with Latane C. Scott and Lynn K. Wilder on their book, Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Minds. I am eventually going to have, after that, Corey Miller and David Eccles, the other two authors of that book. So at least to start with, mark your calendar for Thursday, January 11th. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Jason. Please stay on the line so I can say a proper goodbye to you. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.